men that understand the workings of the Holy Ghost have the capacity to change conditions. The capacity to change condition, it's a kingdom entrustment. You can't gain the kingdom if it is not a priority.
Yes, this is the kingdom message. Get ready and fasten your seatbelt as the servant of God, the lead pastor of KDC Love and Mercy Church, Pastor Stephen Enoku, drives us through the mysteries of the Word of God. Be blessed as you listen.
Glory to God. Can you welcome somebody to your left and to your right to service tonight? Hallelujah. Come on, can we lift your voice and shout hallelujah? Somebody rejoice in the Lord. Come on, put your hands together for the King of Kings as you take your seat. Hallelujah. It's a privilege to be in service tonight. I don't know about you, but for me, it's a privilege. I want to first appreciate God for His faithfulness and for His mercy. Glory to God. It's also a honor to have every one of you in service tonight. Can you welcome your neighbor to your left and to your right? It's good to have you in Koinonia. Hallelujah. Are you expectant? Are you ready for the word of God tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. Want to appreciate every one of us for our commitment, our sacrifices, our labors, especially our labors in prayers, our labors in reaching out to souls, inviting souls to service. It means a lot to us and to the kingdom. Glory to God. And also every one of you that made yourself available for the evangelism last week, Saturday, and also yesterday. Can we celebrate the Lord? Hallelujah. I said, put your hands together for the King of Kings and for the Lord of Lords. Amen. Tonight, we're going to be doing a bit of exposition. We're going to be spending much time. Just want to share with us, just want to teach us a few things. And I believe that the Spirit of God will help us to understand. Hallelujah. Last 2 months, we began the Renewal of Mind series. Hallelujah. And last Thursday, I introduced where we are going to be focusing on this time around. Amen. By the grace of God, we're going to be looking at renewing the mind from the crave for acceptance. But tonight, there is a subtopic: renewing the mind from the crave for acceptance. So we're going to start looking at what I've captioned: dealing with rejection. Let's turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 4. I've read that verse severally, but we're still going to look at it. It's going to form the beginning of our teaching tonight. Genesis chapter 4. We're going to start reading from verse 1. From the NLT. 1, 2, let's read together. Now, Adam slept with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant. When she gave birth to Cain, she said, "With the Lord's help, I have produced a man." Verse 2. Later, she gave birth to his brother and named him Abel. Now, when they grew up, Abel became a shepherd, while Cain cultivated the ground. When it was time for harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best of the firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift. Verse 5. But he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry. Please take note of that. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. Why are you so angry? The Lord asked Cain. Why do you look so dejected? Verse 7, everybody, let's read it together. I want to read. You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crushing at the door, eager to control you. But you must subdue it and be its master. Let's check Judges. Judges, there's a story in Judges that will form the core of this subject. Judges chapter 11. I'm going to start reading from verse 1 as well. Judges 11 verse 1. Now Jephthah of Gilead was a great warrior. He was the son of Gilead, but his mother was a prostitute. Verse 2. Now Gilead's wife also had several sons, and when these half brothers grew up, they chased Jephthah off the land. You will not get any of our father's inheritance, they said, for you are the son of a prostitute. Father, thank you for your word. We understand that your word is light, your word is life. The Bible says the entrance of your word brings understanding, especially to the simple. So we ask for simplicity of heart to receive your word tonight upon every hearer. I'm asking that the anointing that makes the communication of your word profound and insightful will rest upon me. I pray also that the enablement of your spirit that makes understanding apt and possible will rest upon every hearer. I give you praise in advance, because these words shall be liberating, these words shall be transforming, and these words shall be empowering. I rebuke every veil of misunderstanding, every veil of religion that wants to block the sweet preeminence of your word. I command it to get off in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray that every heart will receive your word with utterance in my lips and with understanding in their hearts. At the end of it all, Jesus will be glorified while every saint is edified. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Dealing with rejection. You remember I told you that when man fell in Eden, according to Genesis chapter 3, a lot of things ensued. You must know this, that a lot of what we get to deal with in life is traceable to what happened in Eden. The truth is this: for us to find solution to some of the challenges we face in life, it is important for us to cast our mind back to Eden. The fall of man in Eden altered a lot of things. Number one, it altered our communion with God. In Eden, God could have unhindered access to mankind. But because of Adam's disobedience, man became estranged from God. If you have been with me from the start of this series, you will remember me using that word. Man became estranged. Man became a stranger to God. When God called and said, Adam, where are you? Rather than Adam to see it as a call to fellowship, Adam saw it as a call to guilt. He hid himself, and God said, why do you hide yourself? He said, I am naked. You all know the story. And after that, a lot of things happened. God cursed the ground. A man began to toil. I told you that one of the effects of the fall is the work consciousness. Now man has to sweat to eat, to feed, and to attend to his daily needs. I also mentioned that one of the effects of the fall was a lack consciousness, the desire for more, like we saw in Luke 12. The Bible says a man had a very big farm that brought fruit, food, and rather than distributing it, all he could say was that I'm going to store it and I'm going to eat Mary because I have enough to carry me for life. And that night scripture said God called him and said, you're going to die because this was not how I designed it from the beginning. You must understand that all of these mentality of hoarding were as a result of the fall. Am I communicating? A lot of things happened, and one of the words that came to my spirit some days ago was the word damage and corruption. If you read the Bible, Genesis chapter 6, the Bible says God looked from heaven and became so angry, he repented that he had created man, because all of his imagination was evil, and that evil imagination was what the Bible called corruption. Are we together? So a lot of things affected the soul of man, and what we can best call them is corruption and damage. But in this series, one of the damages that took place in the soul of man was the crave for acceptance. I told you broadly that there are three things that happened. Number one was the fear of lack and the consciousness of lack. Number two was what? The crave for acceptance. And then number three is the pride of life. And then the party spirit we're going to be looking at the concluding part of this discussion. Like I told you, it's going to be a long discussion, but so far I'm sure the Lord has been blessing your hearts with it. Glory to God. And one of the things that is very, very particular, like I told you last week Thursday, was acceptance. The truth is this: man was created by God to be a communal being. Please write that down. Man was created to exist in a community. Man was not created by God to be alone. Aloneness is not the desire of God for man. Man was not designed by God to be isolated. Are we together tonight? The way God created man, the first thing the Bible told us about God creating man was that he planted man in a garden. And the Bible says God saw that it was not good for the man to be alone, and then he created for him a companion. You must know this, that man was created to be accepted. Are we together? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, he said from the beginning God created us to be holy and blameless without fault in his sight. So you must understand that inherent in man is a place of acceptance. Tell your neighbor, I was created and accepted. I'm not hearing you. Tell your neighbor, I was created and accepted. By the way God created us, we are not supposed to face rejection. And that's the reason why anybody that gets rejected does not feel good about it. Are we together? How many of you have faced rejection and you liked it? There is no way that you will like rejection. You must understand that a lot of the concomitant effect, a lot of the side effect of man's isolation from God, it brought about a number of character and habits. You must know this, that there are some character and habits that became part of man that resulted from rejection. You must know this, that a vast majority of the character and habitual flaws that most believers are struggling with are traceable to rejection. A number of believers are still struggling with rejection. I told you last Thursday that you can't do ministry if you are still struggling for acceptance. Are we together? One of the reasons a number of people are not bold to speak in public, one of the reasons a number of people cannot go for evangelism, they cannot communicate with their peers, is because they don't think that what they say will make sense. One of the reasons people don't get to flow with themselves is because of this attribute of rejection. So quickly, let's check the meaning of the word reject. Number one, the word reject means to dismiss as inadequate. To dismiss as inadequate. To dismiss as inadequate, unacceptable, and faulty. The word reject, please let's write it down. The word reject means to dismiss as inadequate, to dismiss as inadequate. It means to dismiss as unacceptable and faulty. So one of the words that is in reject or rejection is dismissal. Dismissal, to dismiss as inadequate. To reject also means being pushed away. Being pushed away or turned down. Being pushed away or turned down. And then lastly, rejection means not considered. Not considered. Not considered. See, Ephesians 1:4 is a very profound scripture. One of the things the Bible states there is that even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault. I've come to realize that in God we have obtained an eternal acceptance. But the truth is this: before we get to meet God, there are a lot of people we get to meet before we meet God. So one of the things that happens in our lives is that the devil frames up rejection in fallen man. So most of the times when we come to God, we begin to relate with God like we relate with men. So many a times I've seen people run to God and cry to God because they were rejected by men. And you and I know that from some of the things we are going to see in this series, you will realize that the natural man can't accept you until something has been done inside of him. Because rejection is one of the effects of man's corruption. So you and I know that many a times to belong to some clique, there are some dues you must meet. You know that there are some association before you can join them, there are some standards you must meet. Am I correct? So the reason why there is so much rejection is because man's corruption makes him wants to classify people. That class mentality came as a result of the fall. The Bible says about Abel that the moment he offered his own sacrifice, Cain became angry because not having a relationship with God can alter your soul. The reason why a number of us can relate with you is because we have found acceptance in God. Am I communicating? The reason a number of people can bring you in, can despise your weaknesses and your flaws, is not because those flaws are not there. According to Colossians chapter 3 verse 13, it's because they have come into understanding of the acceptance in Christ. He said, forgive as Christ forgave you. It means that as I begin to come into the understanding of my forgiveness in Christ, automatically I begin to learn to forgive people. What about the man that is not yet born again? It means that by default, he can't forgive. Are we together? You and I know that there is wickedness in fallen man. It takes the renewal of the mind, and that's what we are looking at. So once again, when you are dismissed as inadequate, it means you have been rejected. When you are not accepted, it means you are rejected. And then when people begin to find fault in you, they get to push you away. Now let's check some of the sources of rejection. Some of the sources of rejection. Now let me say this before I move on. Study have shown that people who suffer rejection will have difficulty helping others. I mean, you see, Sometimes now the way our mind don't take frame, now they affect how we treat others. Do you understand what I'm saying? The reason why some people behave certain way is because people have behaved that way to them. Do we understand that? The reason why some persons display certain tendencies is because somewhere people have what? Behaved that way to them. So, while I was reading some of the writings on rejection, I observed that rejection has psychological effect on people. That is to say, if you are the kind of person that have suffered rejection all your life, you will struggle to accept people. Are we together? So that's why I told you when I started that some of the behaviors, some of the habits we tend to exhibit are traceable to some of the things we suffered as a result of the fall. Because by the way man was designed, we are supposed to accept one another. Am I correct? We are supposed to accept one another. But look at the moment Adam fell. I mean, Cain offered sacrifice. Abel offered sacrifice. But why didn't God accept the sacrifice of Cain? The reason was because somewhere in Cain's mind, corruption was what? Lurking. So meaning that the natural desire of Cain was not really like maybe he wanted to offer the sacrifices in the first place. Possibly he did that because Abel did offer. Are we together? And if Adam had not eaten the fruit, Cain wouldn't have killed Abel. I'm sure you know that. So it's all, we call it the spiral effect, the ripple effect of the fall. So we realize that a number of people that can't help others, it's not really because they don't have what it means to help. They don't have the resources to help, but they themselves were not helped when they needed help. Are we communicating? So they see it like, oh, make everybody just do their own. We communicate. Are we getting that? So that's the reason why it looks like some people don't what? Help others. The reason is because they have suffered rejection. But you must know this, that it takes the renewal of mind for us to recover from rejection. The truth is this. There are, I told you last week also, that there are three people that must accept you. And if you check most of all these three people, they are not the general public. Tell anybody, and they are in-house. So let's check the number one source of rejection is parents and siblings. Parents and siblings. Most of the times, they are the first people that serves us rejection. Let's check Psalm 68 verse 6. The truth is this. A number of the dysfunction we experience in life was to be attended to by the institution called family. Family. The desire of God, the design of God. I want to cast your mind back to the design of God. And that's why the devil is attacking family. A number of the dysfunction, bad habits, compulsive behaviors that people are suffering is traceable to breakdown in the family. The Bible says God places the lonely. Look at it. The reason God instituted family with or without the fall is to establish closeness, is to establish community. The home is God's design to cure loneliness. Are you here? The family. I mean, I have done a number of studies into family life and a number of things. Look up, everybody. Without family, the chaos in society will be more chaotic. The design of God was to solve a number of problems
by instituting family. And that is why the child and the boy, the man, look up, the child, the boy is a product of the family. It is the man that influences the society. But whatever the man becomes is traceable to the family it comes from. I mean, why will God want to bring Jesus and he had to be searching for the family from which Jesus will come from? Are we here? He didn't just pick him from any other kind of family. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. Did you see that? This is a record of the ancestors of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. A descendant. Let me tell you this. From the Garden of Eden, God began to search for the ideal family from which Jesus will come out from. All you see in the Old Testament is a documentary of the descendants of Jesus Christ. There were a certain generation that God had to accept because of Jesus. Do you know why? God puts the lonely in family. A number of us would have been far better than this if our families were better than this. I'm telling you the truth. The first moral conduct of a child is not framed by the school. It's framed by what he sees his father and his mother do at home. I can't tell you how many people I have counseled, and all they tell me was that while I was growing up, my mother kept telling me I will not amount to anything. And we strangers, we are trying to refurnish their mindset, but it took so much time. I mean, imagine you spent 12 years with your mother. Do you know what 12 years is? 12 years, not be joke. To grow a child from 1 to 12. And all through that period, I'll share. I mean, some of these are things a number of you are aware of. I saw a movie last week or thereabout, and then I realized that the woman had two children, two girls, and there is nothing one of them does that impresses her. Nothing. As a matter of fact, even in her presence, she will be telling her, we're telling the sister that, see, you, I don't know who born you. Now your sister, I know. You, go look for your mama. I mean, you've heard parents say that before. It's called rejection. No wonder. In fact, when I started watching the movie, I thought possibly the girl wasn't her child. You know, there are situations like that, that maybe they'll pick you from the orphanage. Maybe they have been married for some years and then no issue. They will just say, let me go and pick. And the year they adopt, they will just take in. So you just look like two of you are. I thought that was the case, that maybe the mother picked her up from maybe a motherless baby home or something. But now let me tell you what happened. I found that the reason the mother was so hateful of the girl was because she gave birth to the girl out of wedlock, and the father ran away. You know, those kind of hit and run, got her pregnant and ran away. So she was saying that each time she sees her, it reminds her of a runaway father. So the anger he was supposed to be releasing on the father, he was releasing it on the young girl. And look up, if that girl is not refurbished, rescued by society, she will go on to transfer that hatred to people. The first place we face rejection in life is not in church, it's in the home. Parents and siblings. I remember while I was in secondary school, we had these two ladies that were words and opposites, light and darkness. Permit me to use that word. How many of you have experienced things like that? You see two persons from the same family, and you see one is
light. Another one is just darkness.
So one day I sat, different times I was talking to the two of them, and the one that is light, I said, why is it that you behave differently from your sister? Tears started coming out from her eyes. I said, what happened? Don't cry. Tell me what happened. She said that every time at home, the mom will sit the two of them down and will begin to bash the father. Men are wicked. People in this life are wicked. Transferring the pain the father met to her to the children. She said that's what the mommy always tell them, that if you count the number of times the mommy has laughed with them, is very, very minimal. He said, but something in her doesn't take what the mom says. He said the mom trained them to be wicked to people. That upon all he did for the father left. He said, so the mom was visiting the wickedness of the father on the children. And you and I will agree with me that's the case of some of us. I'm not talking about you. I'm even talking about my own self. We tasted rejection, full dose in our families. God bless your family if your dad and your mom show you love from the beginning of life. Some of us, now Bible, they teach us love. Amen. Amen. Am I communicating? I know we look so good. We look so packaged. But many of you don't know what we got to deal with from childhood. You don't know when there were times that they will serve food and some people will have meat and some will not have. And you are wondering, what is it exactly that I did? One of the first places we have experienced doses of rejection is from our parents. And the truth is this, inasmuch as I want to blame our parents, the reason is most times some of them didn't know better. Some of them are also victims of the effect of the fall. Because if they had met a young man that loved God, he wouldn't have gotten them pregnant and ran away. If they have met a young man that trusted in God, he wouldn't have misused them. Sometimes, like I told you when I began looking at the sources of rejection, we most times reflect our experiences. The difference between our experiences and our lifestyle is what I call renewal of mind. Because you and I know that if not that God has worked on some of us, we are going to come out to be arrows of wickedness. I can't tell you how many young ladies were battered, abused, and misused by young men, and they made up their mind that any man I will marry will suffer. You know what I'm talking about? They've been served breakfast steadily. So they have mended the broken pieces and they look so good outwardly. But they are waiting for the next Samson to come. I'll do to you what that young man did to me some years ago. And somehow it becomes a generational pattern of rejection. Listen to me. New relationship will not cure old wounds. You didn't hear what I just said. I know you thought Kunle was bad. I know you thought Emeka wasn't good. But the truth is this. If you leave Emeka for Philip, Philip might be at worst, even more hurting than Emeka. I told you some weeks ago that in every man is good and evil. It's not their fault. Some people have not been trained to live better. I don't know about, yes, indeed, let's be realistic. I know where I come from, my upbringing, they used to tell us we are big-headed. I remember growing up, they used to tell, sometimes your parents will look at you and tell you, your head is like coconut, nothing will even enter. I've been telling you this over and over again. Most times they use similes, but sometimes those similes become graphical images that we carry. And when our teacher says it, it confirms it. Because in the mouth of 2-3 witness, a matter shall be established. There are a lot of things, if our parents never told us, they wouldn't have shaped our mind. The reason why they are affecting us is not because the society told us, but we first heard it in the home. Your dad looked at you one day and said, see yourself, you're not going to even see anybody marry. And then all of a sudden you go to a class and your friend repeats the same thing. It becomes so graphic. So it's not true. And that's how life has altered a number of our mindsets. If I have the opportunity to talk to parents, I said, there are things you don't tell your children. No. Growing up, I had a family And that's what we're talking about here. Because rejection is, there's a word I want to use. Rejection has ripple effects. Let me tell you what I mean. One of the effects of rejection is anger. Like I told you in that story, the woman was not angry with the young girl because of anything she did. The woman was visiting the young girl with the anger visited on her by who? The father. That's the effect of rejection. Oftentimes we go through challenges. And one thing I've always told people that are close to me, don't look like what you've been through. Sometimes the goal of the enemy is to turn us into what that together, so that in their union they will make you find that sentence. I'm not going to look like what I've been through. Tell your neighbor, I'm not going to look like what I'm been through. I'm not going to allow the hate of the haters make me hateful. Oh, you're not talking it the way I want. I'm not going to allow the hate of the haters make me hateful. The family is the first place a number of people met rejection. The reason why the devil does not want us to get it in family is because he knows that the family is a major. People say the family is the first agent of socialization. I agree with that, but I'm not going to stop there. The family is not only the first agent of socialization, the family is the major agent of socialization. Some of the habits we are trying to imbibe into people is because they missed it in the family. I can't tell you how many people can't remember. I don't even think my father, I mean biologically, and I'm not talking about storybook or textbook or movies or Nollywood or Bollywood. I'm talking about, I can't even remember if my father has ever looked at me and said, son, I love you. You understand what I'm talking about now? There are certain things that won't mean anything to us if we have had enough of it in the family. But the reason we are begging for it in the society is because the family couldn't offer it to us. Can't remember. It is God designed for us to find closure in family. And that's why the truth is this: a number of the dysfunction that the child is exhibiting in the school can be traceable to the family. And that's why young men and young women, if you're going to miss it anywhere, please don't miss it in marriage. You know, Satan is such a schemer, such a planner. He understands that God set the solitary in family. So he stays at the gates of marriage and is waiting for you there. He says, sister, don't worry, pray all the tongues you can pray. Brother, fast all the fast you can fast. I know where to get you. If I can get you in your choice of spouse, I know I've closed your children for eternity. May we not become instruments of hate. May we not become tools of the enemy to extend the effect of rejection. Because the truth is this: I know you love by emotions, but there is a love by principle. Because if you love by emotion, the love can fade. But when you love by principle, you understand that I am the gatekeeper of my family. I'm not going to allow hate to spill to my children. The reason the devil is attacking homes is because he knows that when the man and the wife are not together, they can't model anything for the kids. Rejection has its root in family. And the truth is this: there are some things we can't do about our families, but it's important for us to know so that we don't repeat the same mistake for our children. Sometimes when people come to me and they want to choose someone, and then they are trying to pet the person's dysfunctionality, I looked at them. Sometimes the female, I look at her, I said, can this man become the real father of your kids? That's why when you want to get married, please don't marry for your feelings. Marry for your children. Sometimes when people come to me and they're like, my husband goes out and then drinks and comes and then beats me up and then does all sort of evil. Do you know that children are very sensitive? Most of you don't know because you are no longer kids. I mean, sometimes kids know that it's not well with mom and dad. I mean, seal up the room as much as you can. Close it. Let no voice come out from the room. But there is an instinct in children that makes them know that mom and dad, they are not united. And as they begin to come into accountability, they begin to exploit it. Begin to exploit it. And that's why we can't trust anybody.
That's why we can't find love. I mean, I know of people, when you start loving them, they become uncomfortable. Because if my mom that gave birth to me can't love me, how can you, a stranger, love me? No, that's the question going on in their head. Because of all the negative effects of rejection, the one that comes from family is always brutal. It starts with your mom or your dad, and then it proceeds to your siblings. Have you not observed how your kid sister or your elder brother begin to use the same words that your dad used on you? You understand what I'm talking about? Shebi mommy don't talk can she yo lo burukuni yo yo ri oye oyi 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 dan. I mean, I like the Yoruba people, they are blessed by God, but sometimes I wonder how parents manufacture curses for their children. Early morning, sometimes I'm going out, you are seeing a mother beating the child, and maybe the child is not closing her eye, and then the mother shouts at her, show you any funny, let me close your eye. I mean, must you now use bad words for your child to close eyes? Words are very powerful, because it was words that created the heavens and the earth. Very powerful. You know better, there are words you shouldn't use for your siblings. Some of the rage and anger and envy, sibling rivalry, most of them were forged by mommy rivalry. Some of the things we suffer with our siblings were inherited, imposed on us by our parents. And the reason why they get to have space to grow is because of the fall. Because the moment Adam and Eve fell, Cain and Abel were destined to become rivals. Sometimes you see parents setting kids against themselves. I remember one of the things I told my wife some time ago. I said, see, I know you want to praise this one, but don't praise this one and bring down the other. Parents do that a lot. And somehow, it is part of the way the society, Satan is helping, the society is helping Satan fulfill his purpose. You can praise a child without comparing the child with the next. You understand what I'm saying? You don't need to say, if say na dominion, I know you will do it very well. Your own self, you know the learn. No. That's some of the bad things that our parents transferred to us. Don't move it to your kids, not your siblings, not anyone. The truth is this: comparison triggers envy, and all of these are effects of rejection. If you don't accept me, please just don't accept me, but don't compare me with those you have accepted. You know, that's one of the challenges we face in life. You know, there's no problem rejecting me. Please reject me. But don't do that by comparing me with another. The Bible says comparing themselves with themselves, they have become foolish. Some of the foolishness our kids displayed were inherited by our parents. They got them from our parents. Teach your child and train him up in the way he should go, so that when he's old, he will not depart from it. I want you to see, listen to me, young ladies and young men, before you get married, please go and study about the family. Don't marry because your body is doing you jiring, jiring, jiring. Marry because there is a generation you want to raise. Marry because you can model children. Listen to this. The church is not getting it in the society because the church is not helping the families. That's why we took time to pray for families on Tuesday in prayer meeting. Because the truth is this, the church is supposed to raise godly homes. And if the church does not do that, the school ain't gonna do that. I got a clip, if you want me to send you, I'll send you, how a young man stood before the board of directors of a primary secondary school and was reading the things they were exposing 10-year-old kids to. Them what comes out of a man after he releases, teaching them the size of a woman and all those things, that 10 years. And the man stood before the board, and the head of the board, when he was reading it, I said, no sir, you don't need to say it. The man stood and said, I'm gonna say it. If you won't allow me to say it for you to hear, why did you write it for children to read? You'll agree with me that some of our parents, till we graduated from school, they never even knew the four wall of our institutions. It was grace that kept some of us. Was grace. Dysfunction everywhere. If your mom was your best friend, that guy wouldn't have taken advantage of your virginity. If your dad was your close mate, that guy wouldn't have used ass rent to seduce you to take away what you cherish.
The reason the devil is taking advantage of, see, I know the society is wicked, but it is more wicked when the home does not understand that place. And that's why, if you are listening to me, if you come from a dysfunctional home, your mommy didn't love your daddy well, your daddy didn't love your mommy, your siblings are all hating you, please, you need your second family. Because if you missed it in the first family, there is the second family, is the church. And that's why the devil takes his attack from your home. Now he has brought it into the church. Now you are angry with everybody. The anger you inhabited, I mean you inherited from your biological family, you've brought it here. So you are thinking that we hate you the way your father hates you. No, we don't. It's just the devil trying to steal you away. Because let me tell you the truth. If you miss it in the biological family, and miss it in your spiritual family, we leave the rest to God. Because the cure to rejection is not more job. The cure to rejection is not more money. I know of people who have so much money, yet they kill themselves. I know of people who have so much. I mean, we used to think that if we buy toys for our kids, we'll make them grow up. Well, listen to this. Man was not created to be entertained by toys. Man was not created to be kept company by toys. Man was created to be kept company with a fellow human that feels the momentum, that feels the hit, that loves. And that's why I fall in love with every movie station. After all the stations are finished, you will still feel that depression. You will still feel that emptiness. And that's why some people have sucked it in. They have sucked in so much, it couldn't help them. They killed themselves. Because God puts the lonely in family. Where there is a father, a mother, and siblings. There are some of you listening to me. You can't do well in marriage if you don't go and settle with your siblings. Your siblings are not your enemies. Your mom is not even your enemy. Your dad is not your enemy. The killer, the destroyer, is the main enemy. He was the one that made Eve to eat the fruit. So before you blame your sister, get rid of that devil. Stop hating on them. Stop hating on them. As some of you, the desire you need, the desire you should have in life, is to love your dad back. That some of you, the reason why you can't prosper in life is because there is an inherent hatred for your father. Sometimes you wake up, sometimes he's silent. I wish my dad took responsibility of me. You see, the truth is this, we don't get to say it so loud, but deep down in our heart, there is a pain we are nursing, and that pain came from our family. If not for the scriptures and God helping me, there are days I sit down and I wish I had a mom that pampered me from birth. I tell people, see, you see, it's good to be trained by a single mom. It's good to be trained by single parents, rather. It's good to be trained by only your mom. It's good to be trained by only your dad. But from the beginning, it was not so. It was the union of a man and a woman that produced you. So it is the cooperation of a man and a woman that will mature you. But we can't blame God sometimes when our parents, maybe our mom died or our dad died. Listen to this. If you still have your dad and your mom alive, I think you should be grateful. Let me tell you the truth. We'll close here. It's heavy. It's heavy. Just God helping me. You see, what your parents couldn't do for you because they didn't know better, now that you know better, you should do it for them. You should do it for them. I forgave my dad because I knew better. I forgave him because I knew, not because he apologized. He's never going to apologize. I mean, some of you are waiting for your dad to call you to tell you I'm sorry. Where do you see a father apologize to a child? You're not going to do that. He saw you in your nakedness. I mean, he was there when you were pushed out of your mother's womb, and you're expecting him to apologize to you. It's not never going to happen. I mean, if you have a father that can look at you and say, I'm sorry, you are blessed, it's never going to happen. But you know what? When you know better, Dad, I'm sorry. You know, one thing about our parents, even if they don't tell us I'm sorry, they buy you your favorite meal. That's their language of I'm sorry. But never pick offense towards your parents. It's part of the dysfunction. If they knew the things, you see, the truth is this. If your mom had the opportunity to have been discipled the way you have been discipled, a lot of things, in fact, he wouldn't even have married your father. But that's That's the truth. He wouldn't. So don't lay charge against them. No, don't. Don't lay charge against them. Don't lay charge against them. I know right now you wish, you know, sometimes, I mean, you have sent link to your dad, your mom. I mean, you just wish they can hear the things. The truth is that they can't. Because it is a child that is formed. A man is not formed. It is a child that is formed. You know, sometimes people come to me and tell me about the challenges they're having with their parents. I wish my mom can hear the message. No, the truth is this. Because you are in the age you are, that's why you can say what you are saying. The age they are, they can pick a number of things. They are thinking of how to take you through school. They are thinking of how to parent. You know, their mind is clouded. So please, spare them some slack. And that's why when people come to me sharing with me the challenge of their parents, I tell them two things. Number one, love them, pray for them. And that's why for no reason, no matter the abuses your mom hails, pours on your head at this level, don't talk back. You know better. You can't change your mom. I can't sit down now. I can't go. I can't tell my father, daddy, you are sitting down. Man to man, let's talk. I mean, more talk. The way you are treating mommy, is not good at all. You see, it's not that your dad don't want to take your advice, but as you are talking, he's remembering how they were cleaning you from your mother's womb. That's what he's remembering. He's saying, you don't big now. Do you know that sometimes the people that saw you when you were growing up, they are the hardest people for you to correct? When you go home during Christmas, they will look at you. See Abraham of that day. Oh, that was running around with pants. I remember when I graduated, you know, especially all these old people. You can visit them in the village. Imagine you now go with maybe one of your protocols. Maybe I just went with maybe if there. You know, those people can embarrass you. They will start reminding you all those things you were doing when you were small. Now the reason is because it is a child that is formed. They have gone past that age. But what about you? Are you going to repeat the pattern? I told you the solution to a failed relationship is not another relationship. If a young man rejects you because you are short, rejects you because you are dark, don't look for a man that will accept you because you are dark. Deal with your own mindsets. The family was designed by God to frame us so that when we come out in the society, we will not look down on ourselves. And so that's why when you miss it in your first family, God now sends you to a spiritual family. And you see, for me, as a spiritual father, I've observed that there are patterns you can trace to people upbringing. And let me tell you the truth. There are some people, it will take you more teachings to train them how to respect elders. How many of you know that? There are some of you right now, because of the way you were brought up, you know how to respect elders by default. But may I go bring Agbasa boy for you? You know where they call Agbasa for worry? Go bring him. If you see a typical Agbasa boy, in fact, their energy they rise when they talk to elders. Now there they flex their muscle. Now basbos, as you give them, they give you back. Now if such a person repents and comes to the local church. Now, that's the challenge we have most times with the local church. We don't relate with people based on their history. We relate with people based on our current level. So, you know, why will he be talking to pastor anyhow? And then you want to go and confront him. He will give you back. He will give you back. Now, the reason is not because he likes it. The reason is because that's where he was brought up with. So, that's why I keep telling people that the church is not a perfect place. We have all found acceptance in God, but many a times we need to investigate into people's history. Because if you know what some people have been through in life, you will know why they will never see you and greet you in the morning. But that's the truth. And that's the reason why sometimes, for you to be a good father, God will take you through dirty experiences. I mean, sometimes, not all the time, sometimes. Because a number of you think that everybody is good, fine, and lovely. But no way. I mean, some people at 5, they started watching pornography with their elder brothers. How do you explain that? I mean, how did he get into it? So one night he woke up, he wanted to go and saw you watching it. I'll go and tell daddy. I'll go and tell daddy. I'll go and tell daddy. We are come. I will not tell daddy. Not tell daddy for me. We are come and watch. You know what I'm talking about. You see, sometimes when you criticize people, investigate into where they are coming from. Remember, a young girl told me, he said, from age 5, people started doing twosome on me. My 2 cousins. 5. The day I attempted to talk, they told me they would send me out of the house. My dad didn't have money to pay my school fee. So if I'm going to get my regular school fee, I have to keep quiet. So when you see some people, they can't talk, don't blame them. The family broke down. I know of people, they have never spent 3 months with their biological parents before. Holiday from one uncle to another, just for them to sustain. And they were exposed to all forms of rejection. Listen to this. Listen to this. The cruelty of man started from Eden. And that's why, if you hold it against them, you are going to transfer it to your generation. You see, I listened to T.D. Jakes some years ago, and that was one of the first places I knew I was going to forgive my dad. T.D. Jakes said something. He said, whatever you hate in your parents, you will repeat in your own family. Whatever you hate in your parents, you will repeat. Because hatred is a generational pattern. Whatever you hate, you will repeat. So settle it early enough, so that God can deliver you from it. Because hatred, there are 2 creative forces. 2 things that create. 2 things that forms. 2 things that you. 2 things that brings about. Love and hate. Hate can make people do things, just the same way love can make people do things. So don't hate on your parents. Now, some of you looking at me, for the next level of your life things, all God wants from you is to start praying for your parents. You have despised them too much. You are angry with them too much. It is time to release them. Because if you don't, you transfer that hatred to your own children. Now let me tell you how it happens. You might get married and you begin to see those same characters in your husband. You begin to see those same tendencies in your wife. And the truth is this, most of the things we get angry at in people is not really because they don't deserve a second chance from us, but because the last time somebody show up with this character, the person caused you hurt. You understand what I'm talking about? So the anger is not like, I'm going to go. No. The last person that displayed this character, I knew what the person did to me. So sometimes you see conflicts in the home. It's a result of unhealed character from your upbringing. Am I communicating? So that's why you need to make peace. The Lord told Cain, verse 7, Genesis 3. He said something is locking inside of you. He said it's crushing inside of you. Bring it up and let's pray. He said if you don't deal with it, if you don't deal with it, 4 verse 7. Let's be on our feet. He said, if you refuse to do what is right, sin will crush you. Some of the rejection we faced from our siblings. You see, some of us learned malice from among our siblings. Charity, they say, begins at home. You see, one thing I like about upbringing is that the small child is innocent
and also welcoming. How many of you know that? Have you beat a small child before? Like Precious here, you beat him. Do you know tomorrow, he is even the one that will first run and come and meet you? Do you get that? May we not miss it in raising a godly generation. If you are not yet a parent, you will soon be a parent. Heal. One thing about this series we are currently on, I told you, if you lay hold on it, it will alter your destiny for good. Heal. Sister, heal. Heal. You never know you haven't healed until that same experience shows up again. Heal. Renew your mind. Tell yourself, I will not look like what I went through in my family. There was a time I was justifying some of my actions because of the negligence of my parents. A number of people do that. I've had conversation with someone and said, see, nobody should blame me. After all, my mom and dad couldn't do what they are supposed to do. And the truth is this, sir, you can't blame them. Because I didn't choose to come to this life. We have every reason to be angry with our upbringing. But let me tell you the truth. But for one reason, they didn't know better. What are you going to do with the life that is remaining? Are you going to go around carrying the load that were deposited in your life by the mistakes of your family? Are you going to make other people's children worthless because your parents made you worthless? I know of young men, listen, you may be too good to speak to them, but I know of young men that have vowed in their life that they will disvirgin any young lady that comes to their way because of what they experienced while they were young. Most of you think it's only men that rape women. I know of men that were raped by women. They were forced into it. And the devil took advantage of it. I've told you something. Listen, everybody. The weapons that the devil uses are hate, envy. Imagine if grace was not on Joseph's life, his younger ones and elder ones would have destroyed his destiny. But grace rescued him. There are some of you, the first major wound was inflicted by you by your younger brother. He stabbed you when the both of you were fighting. And since then, each time you look at it, anger is welling up. And so that's why when you come to church and we are saying, let's do brother and sister, your own is just a camouflage. It's just a covering to harm people. It is only a healed nation that can raise a healed people. Cry out to God tonight. You are a parent listening to me. The destiny of your children, they are in your hands. Will they look back 30 years from now and be glad? You see, I tell parents most times, what you expect from your children is not them building house for you. I was speaking with a parent some time ago. I said, you should be grateful that you have a son that chose God in spite of the world. The greatest gift a parent can give to his children is godliness. Among the reasons that made me release my dad taught me how to read Psalms when we were growing up. My dad taught me how to be chaste and not to run after everything unscathed. And if I would remember him for anything, I should remember him for those two. Lay your hands on your head and ask God. I don't know the pain in your heart, but I feel so much pain here. There are some of you, the truth is this, it's there. You may not want to admit it, but a vast majority of the rejection you are currently dealing with is traceable to what your parents did to you. Some parents turned their children to money generating bags. I can't forget, a young lady told me, he said, each time I sleep with men, my mom asks me for the money they give me. All because they want ends to meet. The truth is this, we're not going to blame them. Because if they knew better, they would have done better. But the question is this, you that is listening to me tonight, are you still holding it against them? Are you still holding it against them? Siblings rivalry is another reason for rejection. Siblings rivalry, comparing one with the other. Lord, deliver me from the hate I have for my sister. You can't love a spiritual brother, you can't love a spiritual sister, because growing up you have been taught that anyone that is so close to you is after something you cherish. And the devil is taking it so hard. Close your eyes here and pray. Heal me, Lord. Heal me, Lord. I release my mom. I release my dad. There are some of you, your mom died years ago, but people have succeeded in poisoning your heart towards the dead woman. Oh, Rabba Shagraga Balego Siata. Lord, I don't want to be a victim of the mistakes of my family. I don't want to be a victim of the mistake of my mom and dad. I don't want to be a victim of my siblings' rivalry. There were some of you, you were the pawn. You were the pawn that your elder ones were using to cause problems between themselves. You were so crafty. You know how to set the family in disarray. You are always the hider. You are the one that covers everyone. And it has become a habit. Now the enemy is trying to raise it up even in your spiritual lineage. Lay your hands on your heart and say, Spirit of the living God, heal me. Heal me. Heal me. Renew my mind from this form of rejection. Renew my mind. Renew my mind. Whether you like it or not, some people can't make the right choice of partner until they are healed. Because right now they are damaged. Right now they are dysfunctional. Sister, don't get married in this damaged condition, so that you don't extend this damage to your kids. Ask the Lord to heal you. Ask the Lord to rescue you. Whatever we sow is what we reap. So says the word of God. Ask the Lord. Pray, cry out. There is a healing balm in the house. You can't matter in your spiritual clan if you are not renewed from some of these hazards from your biological family. There is a place where men are made. Some of you escaped it in your biological family, but God has sent you here. I can't tell you how many people came in here. They couldn't withstand it. They left because they were not malleable. They couldn't be molded. They have passed the age where you can mold them. But thank God for those that come in as a child. Hear this. You may be 30 years, you may be 40 years, but if you come into a spiritual family, please start up as a child, so that those things that you never had, you can have them. Oh, Rabada Shagada Balegedia. And that's why the church is not a place for the grown. The church is the place for those who want to grow. The reason why you get angry when you are corrected is because growing up, you were molested. Nothing you did mattered. Even when you wake up and cook, the next thing your mom will say is that all your mates can cook better. They have succeeded in turning your heart against all your mates. Cry out and say, Lord, heal me, heal me, heal me. Family rejection. Heal me. Heal me. If you miss it in your first family, you can't miss it in the second family. Because for God, He sees the whole head as a family. According to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19, verse 16. Sees the whole head as a family. It's a God in whom the whole family of on earth is named. Thank you, Lord. My heart is healed. As you partake of the communion tonight, healing comes on you. There are some of you, all you will need to do this night is to pick a call and pray for your mom. Call your dad and pray for him. The Bible says, honor your father and your mother so that your day will be long. And so, Lord, as we partake of the communion tonight, heal our hearts. Heal us from the rejection from our parents. Heal us from the rejection of our siblings. Oh, Shatalabakusiele Parados. Heal us. Oh, Brados Yabala. Deliver us from hunger. Deliver us from hate.
We hope that you have been instructed and edified by the teaching from God's servant, Pastor Stephen Enoku. If you have need for more edifying teachings, you can download them from our ministry's website, www.kdclovembassy.com/sermons. For counseling, feedbacks, and should you want to support the ministry or be a partner to what the Lord is doing through us, send us a mail through kdclovembassychurch@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Keep taking charge.